Today's August 23rd, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $63,823.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, just sitting back watching the price of Bitcoin go up for once.
It's been a long time coming. I mean, we can't even say like that we're doing gangbusters or anything like that, but we've had some nice gains today, right?
Yeah. Since the downturn at the beginning of the month, getting above 61 has been really a problem. Like, it kind of just would hit that resistance and shrink from it. And we broke through today, so we'll see what next level we can get to.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely want to see us close above, 60,000 at least for the remainder of this week, like when we get the weekly close on Sunday. If we can hold where we're at now, if not go a little bit higher, going into next week, I think that would be a good thing. And I think it'll put a little bit more wind in our sails, as I would kind of expect everything kind of to with some things that we're going to discuss. So first off, let's talk about theoretical purchases. What are we looking at? How are we sitting now with our theoretical buys?
Okay, so theoretical buy, the first one in October, $3,000 got you 0.0885 Bitcoin. The second purchase was just $1,000 at the halving, and the price then was $64,000. So, at 63,823. You're kind of technically at a loss of a couple of dollars. So really just break even from that trade, back in April now. It's been 4 months.
Yeah.
It's been a kind of a rough 4 months, if we're not going to lie about that. But we're back to the break even level. The original purchase, the $3,000 back in October, is now sitting at $5,600.
Okay.
49.
So we're close to being back with double on that one. And then we're almost about break even again.
Exactly.
Okay. On the halving.
So the moral of that story is it's best to buy before the halving, or at least when the markets, before the rockets take off on the spring, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever we're about to be like Sonic and bounce up in the air.
That's right.
So, and then we were looking at flows kind of before we got going too. And from the ETF flows themselves, we've had nothing but positive numbers this week. Looks like it kind of trailed off from the end of last week where we had 11.1 million on the 15th. And then it's just been kind of a steady increase. And then today, we still don't have iBits numbers reported as of yet. But it looks like today so far we've had 162 million to positive inflows to the Bitcoin ETF. So we've had no red. Of course, Grayscale's been selling almost every day this week, but the rest of them have been making up for it. And I'm curious, next time we record, I want to make a mental note to go back and look on the 23rd and see what iBit ended up doing today. Because, of course, we don't have their numbers yet. Having said all of that, big thing that came out today that kind of really helped the markets in general. And when we're looking at the markets, before we move into that, like, everything's up at least by 1%. The VIX is negative 9.63%. The dollar is down 0.83%. But, the S&P's up 1.15. NASDAQ's up 1.18. The Dow Jones is up 1.14. Apple's in 1.03. Tesla's up 4.59. Gold is up 1.2. Oil is at up 2.73, silver's up 2.93. Silver, look at silver go.
Well, gold hit an all-time high at 2,500 here recently. So
yeah, that means it's 2,512 right now.
Yeah, so that means a gold bar is now worth $1 million.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah, because that's just for an ounce, right? $2,512.
And there's, I think there's something like 400 ounces in a gold bar. So
chunk of change. Ka-ching.
A cool million.
Man, that's, it's not bad. I don't have a gold bar like that sitting in my vaults or nothing, but.
No, we lost that in the boating accident too, right?
Yeah. That went down with the ship. And I couldn't be bothered to go looking for that. It's not worth it. Not worth it.
Now that you know it's a million.
Now, I'm going to be like the dude with the trash bin when he tossed his hard drive in the trash and he's been trying to dig it out ever since. Yeah, so everything kind of got predicated, like all the positive momentum in the market today has been predicated basically off the Fed meeting minutes. The Fed was in Jackson Hole this week for their annual meeting. And Jerome Powell, he came out, and I watched the actual press conference of the meeting. And, I mean, it's kind of sad they're making jokes about, you know, the economy and how they had, you know, they did mention they messed up with transitory inflation, how it wasn't actually transitory, and how, you know, they were willing to go down with the ship with that. And, you know, there was a few captains of the ship in the room with them and, you know, labor markets. That's the other thing I wanted to bring up that we didn't talk about. Was the jobs report. You saw that, how that correction had to come out, right?
Yeah. Well, we've been saying that the jobs numbers were pure gaslighting because they kept revising them. Every month they'll go back to the previous numbers that they put out and they'll revise them down. And this one, they revised it down more than 800,000 jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost a million jobs that they'd miscalculated.
But they somehow added into there that weren't actually created. I mean, yeah, that's pretty
well, and it's suspect. Funny because like a rounding error is like maybe 2%. That's on the high side for a rounding error. Not a million flipping jobs or near a million flipping jobs.
No. And I remember I don't want to get too political on here, but the Department of was it Department of Labor?
Yeah, Department of Labor.
They were talking about, you know, Kamala's accomplishments and the added 1 million jobs and all this stuff. And it's like, she was saying that basically the day that they revised everything down by 800,000 on a recent report. And I'm just like, you know, it's just really frustrating.
I completely agree. Like, it's BS is what it is.
Oh, it's pure BS, pure gaslighting. And when you lie to my face like that, I really do take offense to it.
You know, and you kind of mentioned that you didn't want to get political with it. But the question is, why would they decide to go ahead and announce that report now instead of just holding off a little bit longer?
I don't know. Maybe somebody is got their walking papers by putting that out just a hair early.
Could have been. So, yeah, Jerome Powell had his meeting minutes today, and basically they said that, you know, the comments were dovish, suggesting a softer approach to interest rate hikes. He indicated interest rate cuts are likely, so more than likely we'll see them in September. It led to the positive reaction in the market, obviously, is what we're seeing. So, because basically when they're talking about reducing the interest rate, money printer is going to come back online, right? We're going to see things. It's going to be cheaper to borrow money, basically, is what it comes down to.
Yeah, and there's probably going to be some other fiscal loosening that's going to be happening, right?
Yeah. He expressed increased confidence that inflation is on a sustainable path back to the Fed's target rate of 2%, which, I mean, I'm glad he's slapping himself on the back, but that's after we've already had. I don't even know what the total amount is, but it's been high. Well over what? Probably 20% inflation over the past year and a half, 2 years? More than that?
Easily. I was going to say, it's probably more than that if you look at the past 4 years. And the thing with Jerome Powell is he's been in this position under Trump. So he's ridden this train for a long time.
Yeah. No, and you're right.
He's oversaw a lot of crap.
Yeah.
So.
He did acknowledge the misinformation with the transitory. And so that was kind of good to see. But at the same time, like, it was kind of weird. Just, it's hard for people out there today. And I don't think it matters what country you're in right now. I think no matter where you're at, everybody's having a really difficult time, economically speaking. And I mean, to hear them kind of make jokes about, you know, their mistakes or whatever, you know, that's people's lives that they're talking about. when they make
those literally changes. I mean, when downturns happen, the suicide rates go drastically higher. So
yeah. Yep. And so, I mean, I think you're right in that one sense, is that we've been waiting. I think Bitcoin's been kind of waiting to see the money printers come back online. Regardless, I mean, Bitcoin has done really well, even in this high inflation period, because everybody always said that Bitcoin would only do well if quantitative easing was going on, where the money printers were flowing and you have all this money just coming in. No, Bitcoin's done quite well, even with the high inflation numbers and all that kind of other stuff.
The high interest rates, right?
Yeah.
No, it went exactly opposite path. You know, they've been tightening the screws on the interest rates for over a year now.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to say they started the increase probably, was it 22 or 21? We looked at it last episode. I'd have to go back and look at the chart again, but they were, I think 21, they started to kind of maybe in the mid-summer of 21, because I think 20 is when it started to peak up, or when it started to bring its head up, and that's when they were like, well, it's transitory. Or was that 21? Yeah, 21, right?
21, yeah.
When they were saying that it was transitory, and they thought it was going to disavail itself or whatever, and then they're like, no, we're wrong. We got to start increasing interest rates. So, yeah, it's... Nope. Been kind of a crazy spiral ever since then. But now we've got almost a go-ahead now to go ahead and start, you know, celebrating in a sense whenever you're looking at the asset markets. And then we got news coming out of China that they're about to open up, it looks like, Bitcoin trading in mainland China, because they're going to have to turn on their money printers just to help their economy out. So they're expecting a 420 billion Bitcoin and crypto price bombshell to come out of China. So that's positive news. That came out today in the news, and 9:56 this morning. So, I mean, this price movement that we've seen within Bitcoin has been, I mean, really fueled by these kind of reports that the spigots are going to be opened up, right? And then we also got
news. Not just in America, but worldwide, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because we got news. So we got that from the States. We've got that coming out of China. We've got a report coming out of Russia. I think we had talked about this a couple weeks ago, where Russia had basically made it legal to use cryptocurrencies for international payments to help bypass the restrictions that have been put in place, or the sanctions put in place by the United States. And it looks like they're about to launch two crypto exchanges, one in Moscow and one in St. Petersburg, that's going to trade Bitcoin, Ethereum, and then stablecoins pegged to the Chinese yuan and other BRICS currencies. So, I mean, you and I both know, like, if you have crypto, you can basically circumvent the whole system.
If you have the correct ones, right?
Yeah. I mean, it, for those of you that may not understand that, like, I think we've kind of mentioned that on the podcast before. Like, Bitcoin is more than just the coin. Bitcoin is the network as well.
Yep.
It's all self-contained.
It's worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
It's worldwide, and it's not governed. It's completely decentralized. Whereas, you know, I don't remember how many months ago it was announced that America basically cut Russia off, but then they also seized some of their assets that were in American banks.
Yeah.
And, I thought that was pretty crazy to do. I mean, that just set a precedent that makes other countries that may have the dollars go, whoa, that's next level, you know, theft. I mean, that's outright theft. And if they'll do that to Russia, then they might do that to us.
Oh, yeah.
So the de-dollarization is, I think that accelerated things.
Yeah. I mean, we saw that in Canada, right? With the trucker convoy. And they can do, if they can do the same thing to the truckers, they can do the same thing to countries. That's one of the beautiful things. And that's one of the things that we stress about Bitcoin that makes it so amazing, is that it is the network. It is the payment rails, and everything are all in place. You don't have to have a bank waiting to be sitting on the SWIFT network to be able to transfer the money.
Exactly.
Bitcoin does it all on its own, and it doesn't have, you know, a single point of failure.
Nope. It's worldwide and completely decentralized. No authority telling you you can or cannot use it.
And that's one of the major criticisms that I have. Like when we, you know, we were talking about that before, you know, BlackRock, I mean, yeah, there could be some nefarious things that they could do if they had enough of the mining stuff in place where they could, you know, create a fracture of the coin and basically split it, you know, where you'd have a hard fork. But then you would still have an original chain that continued for all the people that continue to mine the original decentralized chain. And then you'd have the one that BlackRock created or whatever they spin off of that. But it wouldn't be Bitcoin at that point. I mean, you'll see wherever the market goes, but I mean, the people will still have the deciding choice on which one they decide to follow. And that's one of my concerns, like with Ethereum. I like Ethereum. I like what it does. But because it's a staking system, the people who have a majority of Ethereum staked get to make decisions on the protocol. So you got to have money to make the money with Ethereum.
Right.
Bitcoin, as long as you've got a miner, I mean, yeah, your hash rate may be awful, but you still get to participate in the network.
Yep. You're not predicated on how much you already have.
Exactly.
How much you're going to make.
Exactly. Even if you're just making $6 a day on Bitcoin, right? Your mining is still contributing to that pool. So, and one of the things that I wanted to bring up to you and I wanted to talk to you about as well is that, I mean, yeah, we've had, and we're going to go into a little bit of politics again too, but, you know, we had RFK Jr. when he was talking about his Bitcoin plan and how it was really well thought out and really well laid out. Whereas you had Trump, he came out and he was talking about how he was going to, you know, help Bitcoin, all this stuff. It wasn't as well thought out as what RFK had, but he said, you know, I'm not going to allow CBDCs or I'll ban CBDCs. Well, my question to you, and I want to get your opinion on this, what if, you know, we talked about Russia and China, you know, they're both going to have like these stable coins pegged to the yuan and the other BRICS nations. Stable coins are almost the same thing. It's still programmable money and it's not decentralized.
Absolutely.
It just comes under a different name. So, I mean, do you think that that's how they're going to try and slip that in there?
CBDCs through stable coins?
Yeah.
I've heard that theory posited before, and I'm not saying that, yeah, that's going to be what's happening, but I think that is something we need to look out for.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think it's going to be a Trojan horse in that sense.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing with stable coin, at least like Tether and what's the other one, Circle?
Yeah.
In America, with the stable coins pegged to the U.S. dollar, I mean, basically what they're doing is they're buying a lot of U.S. treasuries and then tying that up with the Bitcoin. And, you know, I think it's kind of interesting that that's the route things are going, because China was the biggest customer of treasuries for a long time.
Yeah.
Until, you know, sometime in the 2010s, they really backed off. But I look at America's debt as... I'm going to steal it from a Bitcoin, what's that guy's channel? I really like his stuff. He calls the U.S. debt's toxic sludge. I need to give him credit. I can't remember.
I'm sure I've heard it. I'm trying to think of who it is.
Is it Bitcoin University or something like that?
Because it's not a... Oh, man, what's his name? I don't know. Now it's going to drive me nuts. Who are you? What was it? Is it somebody that talks normally?
Yeah, he usually just talks. Well, he has a channel on YouTube, and he just kind of talks, and he'll explain different principles of different things happening. Bitcoin University, I was correct.
Who's the host?
I can't remember what his name is. He never shows his face, but he's always does a really interesting topic on something crypto-related, so... Go check out his stuff. I can't remember what his name is.
Now I've got to look it up. Hold on one second. Bitcoin University. It's YouTube?
Uh-huh.
Matthew Crater?
Crater. Yes.
Crater.
That's him.
Okay. Gotcha. Bitcoin University. Yeah, I'll have to check that one out. I may not be subscribed to that channel. I'll have to take a look at that one.
Well, he'll put out a different thing about different threats that may affect Bitcoin. And I don't know, he has some really good topics. And he goes really deep into the Austrian stuff. He's like full on, you know, the anarcho-capitalist type guy. But okay. He does several different topics, you know, throughout the week.
No, it's
that's good. Good stuff. Good stuff. He does.
So, yeah, because if you're listening to the BitByte podcast, you're always looking for more information. Check them out.
That's right. That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think everything's primed again for booster launch, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens over the weekend. We'll have to record again next week, kind of see what the price has done. And I do want to see what iBit's purchases were today once we kind of get those numbers. So hopefully I'll remember to check that out.
I was hoping this move up would have happened maybe next week, like Monday or Tuesday. Then I'd feel much more confident that we were seeing it. But we'll see what happens on this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, because that'll be a big deciding thing. If we get to Sunday, because Sunday is always kind of interesting, because that usually what that last move is that you get on Sunday before the close gives you a good indication of how the week's going to start. Because if you get a crazy pump into Sunday night, that means that we're probably going to open on Monday with, you know, more of that momentum going up. But if you get a big drawdown, because the market could pump up over the weekend. Because I think that happened last weekend where we got up to 60,000 going into Sunday, and then it tanked out, dropped down to like 58 on Sunday night when we got the close. So I think if we see this kind of pump up this weekend, and we get a crazy pump up on Sunday, then more than likely, I would say we'll probably continue on higher. But we'll have to kind of see how the market plays out. This should, I would suspect that this should carry our momentum into the weekend. But and then hopefully for, you know, maybe it'll kind of level out here for a little bit until, you know, September starts. But yeah.
I don't know. Exciting times.
Of course, yes, very much so. And I'm glad we're back above 60,000. We've got a solid break above 60,000. So, and we closed above 60,000 for the day. So that's a good thing. Anything else you wanted to bring up today?
Nope, just sign up for the newsletter. We're going to be putting out a few different topics, talking about some of the cycles, what things might look like, and just some other interesting things that are I've been basically mulling over the past week or so.
Okay. Yeah. And always on the deals page, you can go ahead and you get your ledger, and you can also get your Elipal wallet, depending on which one you want to go with. And I will say, for those of you that haven't seen it, the Ledger Stacks is out now, and Ledger also has another hardware wallet out now that looks really kind of the best of both worlds. It's the Ledger Flex. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but it still has kind of the touch white screen with the kind of the ink paper finish. Really nice kind of touch screen going on with that. But it's not as expensive as the Stacks, and it seems like it's a little bit more functional. So if you want some cool tech, it looks like Ledger's got some new ones that are out there. And it seems like Ledger's trying to make up for the stuff that they caused havoc from a year ago.
Well, they still have a little bit of making up to do, to be honest. But
they're not quite there yet. But thank you guys all for listening, and we will talk to you again soon.
Alrighty. Bye.